May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew 13, the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Dear saints, today we have yet another agricultural parable from the lips of Jesus. Last week we considered the parable of the sower, where we learned that we believers are good soil, those within whom the word of God has taken root and is even now producing fruit. We also heard that for a variety of reasons, others who hear the same word, that seed of God's word, either do not believe or believe for a time and then fall away from the faith. Today we get a slightly different picture, a picture of a flourishing field, good soil, if you will. But the comparison this time is no longer between different kinds of soils, but between different kinds of seed. The householder, the master of the house, if you will, has sown good seed in his field. And yet, when his servants look out into the field where the master has sown the good seed, they see not only wheat, but they see weeds growing there as well. The master declares to them that an enemy has sown these seeds of evil, these weeds, in the midst of the wheat. Perhaps the disciples would have had in mind a plant you may have heard of. It's commonly referred to as darnel, and it grows in the same locations as wheat. And in fact, it bears such a striking visual similarity to wheat that some people call it false wheat. In modern terms, it may remind us of the distinction between gold and fool's gold. To the untrained eye, they look very similar, and no doubt many a prospector was fooled into believing they had found a fortune when in fact they had found basically nothing. And what a tragedy it would be if one thought that they had fool's gold and wound up throwing away a fortune. And so, like gold and fool's gold, the weeds and the wheat in Jesus' parable are somewhat difficult to distinguish from one another. But the servants ask if they should go ahead and try. They ask if they ought to separate out the weeds from the wheat. And the master tells them no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. And then Jesus explains to us that this is a picture of our world. We Christians live in the midst of the sons of the evil one, as Jesus describes it. There is no avoiding it. We might often wonder why our Lord permits evil to exist along us, with us, beside us. We often wonder, like the servants in the parable, why we can't just go out there and pull out all the weeds, remove the evil from our midst. Or we might be like James and John, who in Luke's gospel, when the Samaritans in a certain place would not receive Jesus or his teaching, James and John asked Jesus this, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" I suppose that's one way of dealing with evil. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Or Peter, who lashed out with his sword at those taking Jesus captive, and Jesus responded, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Our flesh wants to resist persecution at all costs. It wants us to attack those things that we perceive as evil and destroy them. It wants us to take matters into our own hands. It would have us take the life of any of those who seek to harm us in any way. But our Lord's approach is different. Thankfully so. As we were reminded several weeks ago in our gospel reading, God's people, we need not fear the evils of this world. Jesus told us, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." But we know that there is evil in this world, and that evil that we see and feel and experience can cause us to doubt, can cause us to doubt God's goodness for us, can cause us to question really who is actually in control. Satan uses the evil seeds that he has planted to rock our faith, to turn our eyes away from Jesus and toward the evil that we see. Why doesn't God just free us from all the evil of this world? God does deal with evil, ultimately, in his own way. And there's kind of three different ways, or three phases, if you will, that God does this. The first phase is through the death and resurrection of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus absorbed, he took on all the sins of the entire world, the sin of Adam and Eve, your sin and mine, even the sin of all those weeds out there, the sins of those yet to be born. He took that sin and destroyed it forever. He destroyed its power. Sin is paid for. And while evil sought to destroy the Son of God, the Son of Man, by nailing him to a tree, that was precisely how God used our Lord to save us from sin, how he defeated Satan and rescued us from the shame and the guilt and the consequences of our own evil. And in rising from the dead, Jesus affirms that, yes, sin is defeated, because even the most disastrous effect of sin, the most consequential part of evil, namely death, could not hold Jesus, and therefore it cannot hold us. And God graciously delivers the fruits of Christ's sacrifice through his word, in our baptisms, and in the supper that we will partake of. And so there is justice, justice for evil, but not the kind of justice we might expect, not the kind of justice we would like to see imparted on evil. Jesus takes on evil, all evil. He defeated Satan in the wilderness, and he defeats Satan for us on the cross. Christ is punished for evil. And so what of those who still rage against Christ, who still rage against his church, those who don't believe, those who refuse to recognize their own sinfulness, those who refuse to repent, who refuse to turn to Christ for their salvation? The weeds from Jesus' parable? That brings us to the second way God deals with evil, to those who refuse his goodness. Though they may seem to prevail in this world, may seem strong by this world's standards, by this world's measures, should they die in their sin, they will be like the weeds, of whom Jesus says, "Gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God is just. He will not be mocked. And Christ, though he has saved us from all sin, mankind is free to reject that gift, free to throw it away. And the consequences are to suffer the same fate as the devil and his angels in the fires of hell. And yet we wonder, as we look around the world, why doesn't God just do it now? Why does he permit this evil to exist? Here we are, God's people, living in this world, and we're surrounded by things we wish we weren't surrounded by. Why doesn't God just rip out all the weeds now? Why doesn't he just throw them into the fire now? Why doesn't the master let the servants deal with the weeds? That's because of the final way that God deals with evil. The master says, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them, let both grow together until the harvest." God is revealing his mercy. There is still time for the unbeliever. As long as it is day, before the night comes, any person we see as a weed could turn out to be wheat. They can repent. They can turn from their sin and trust in the Lord for their salvation. What if Jesus had said to James and John, "Okay, I'll go ahead and rain down fire on these Samaritans"? They would have died in their sin. Instead, after Christ's resurrection, the evangelist Philip went down into a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. And St. Luke tells us, "When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they paid close attention to what he said, and many were baptized." Do you see the mercy of God? Consider Saul, who in persecuting the church was persecuting Christ himself. Did God destroy him then and there on the road to Damascus? No. He turned Saul's heart toward him. Paul believed and was baptized. And God used him to proclaim the name of Christ throughout the world. For you see, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. As much as God has shown his mercy to you and to me, he wishes to show it to all people. And so God waits. He waits patiently, and we wait patiently with him. The church, us, the good seed, we bear the message of Christ to the world. We are to boldly declare what is evil and what is good to a world that has gone astray, both here in this congregation, in our lives, as we meet other people. But the church is not a military force. It doesn't seek on its own to overthrow the prince of this world, Satan, because he's already been defeated. It doesn't seek to bind up the weeds and throw them into the fire, because it's not yet time. And truthfully, we cannot see into the heart as our Lord can. The church doesn't fear persecution from the sons of the evil one. Instead, we continue to cast out the seed of God's teaching and let God worry about the weeds. And though we are surrounded by the seed of the evil one, we are not without hope. Hope in what we do not yet see. A certain hope that God will gather the wheat into his barn as he has promised, and that we, the righteous, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. St. Paul wrote in our epistle lesson, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Our Old Testament reading, "Fear not, nor be afraid. Has our Lord not told you from of old and declared it? And we are his witnesses. Is there a God besides our God? There is no rock. I know not any." Or as Luther tells us, "And though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him." In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.